Phyllis, when did you first realize that you could make people laugh?
When I was in grade school.
How was that? Was it antics or?
I'll tell you what, it sounds like I was a troublemaker, but it wasn't that at all. I was always a pro. In other words, even as a little teeny kid, I was an absolutely perfect, quiet, dedicated student in class. But outside of class, I got my laughs. In other words, I've always been able to control myself and be disciplined and follow the rules. Like, there are people who have absolutely no way of shutting themselves off. You've seen them on panels where they keep butting in, and finally you just wish they weren't there at all. Well, of course, this doesn't happen to me because I have a great sense of timing and a sense of when to speak, when not to speak. And so it was a professional attitude toward comedy right from the very start, when I was simply doing it for kicks and had no idea that I would ever become a comic. It was just a natural thing. To me, it's a great attitude toward life. Laugh it off.
Well, your first professional job was at the Purple Onion.
Right.
In San Francisco in 1955.
Yes.
What did you use for material?
Well, every day I worked on material. Every day. I had a guy that worked with me. He was he was one of those fringe type people, part decorator, part gallery owner, you know the kind, part showbiz, and part actor. And he was one of those people that did have a nice, bright mind, very quick. And when things were slow at his gallery, he would go through back issues of the Reader's Digest looking for decent jokes. Now, and then I would go through Vogue and Bazaar and find pictures that were so ridiculous, and I would paste them on a cardboard and hold them up that night and talk about them. And I would take a full-page ad, I'll never forget one ad, of Joseph Magnus for a $100,000 sable coat. Wrote a whole bit about it. I'd hold the coat up, tell him the cost, and then I'd write a whole bit about how ridiculous that is. You have to get an appointment to try it on. And then the two guards are there. You know, the whole thing was my kind of comedy. New, you know, not the old jokes, because I didn't want to tell jokes anyway. That was just a matter of desperation.
Well, when you actually got in to do the job opening night,
mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly when you knew you were going to go in, you must have had some idea
of what I was going to do.
Yes.
Oh, I had an act.
Oh, before you even opened the
I auditioned my act.
Oh.
But the problem is, I only had one act, and there's four shows a night there.
Now,
skillet.
What did
that
act consist of?
Musical act. It was sing talk. It took me a long time to stop singing and to stop using props. I had funny glasses, I had funny stoles, I had funny furs. I borrowed furs from the audiences and did bits, and I had funny everything. I couldn't do a new thing without a funny prop.
Where did you get, up until the time you developed the act, which you opened with at the Purple Onion, where, up until that moment, where had you worked, what
to get
had
that
you done
thing congealed?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I was 37 when I opened there. And I had five children. I was a married suburban lady. And I had been doing things in church, for church groups, for little Kiwanis groups, for the Navy, Alameda Naval Air Station. They had a little thing for the sailors. They'd invite me out and give me $17 and a live turkey. How's that for pay? Don't ever accept a live turkey. Jeez, they're mean. Anyway, things like that. But just rare, here and there. But in just the fact that I'd been in front of somebody, ever, it's amazing how it falls together and it falls into place. Then when you know you're going to open, or I had been working on it, this act, trying to get it ready.
You were 37
yes.
when you went into the Purple Onion.
When I became a pro.
Yes. Now, prior to that, how long had you worked developing and working at
these I worked a year on an act because my husband kept nagging me to do it, and I finally decided, what the hell, I'll do it. So I started working on an act, and I worked for a whole year.
Now, this was obviously in between taking care of a house,
plus
a
full-time job,
and a
full-time job at a radio station.
You were doing a radio?
Yes, I was. I never did anything talent-wise. I was in the office end. I was in press, continuity, advertising, and merchandising, that sort of thing. They would never let me in the other side of it. They didn't think I had any talent, the idiots. I auditioned. They said it's no good. They were wrong. It's just they couldn't see. They couldn't see me because I was an office girl to them. They couldn't see me at all.